The reading is written in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, and is to be found on page 1176 in the Church Bible. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. This is why it is said, "Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Be very careful, then, how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you very much, Peter. Let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, this is a hard passage to read and to hear. And so we pray, Lord, as we look through it together, that your love and your light would shine on us. Amen. Well, over the last few Sundays, we've been thinking about what it's like to be a family, God's children, brothers and sisters of Jesus. And if you've committed your life, if you've given your life in faith and trust to Jesus, if you've come to Jesus truly sorry for the rebellious life you've led against God, if you've received Jesus' forgiveness, the forgiveness that he won for you and for me on the cross and through the resurrection, if all that's true about you, then you are part of God's family. And it's such a wonderful blessing. I say it a lot. I love being in God's family. And we've been hearing over recent weeks in our sermon series that as Jesus' brothers and sisters, we've got a responsibility to each other. We're called to grow deep relationships with each other, to be understanding and gentle with each other, supportive of each other. And being a family also means helping each other to grow our relationship with Jesus, both personally, that individual relationship, but also as a family because they're connected. Worshipping together, studying the Bible, sharing the good news of Jesus, sharing how Jesus is working in our lives during the week, being accountable to each other. All these help us to grow, to encourage us to live a life where Jesus is the centre of our lives 7 days a week, not just on Sundays. Or as Paul puts it in a little bit earlier in his letter in chapter 4, verse 1, to live a life worthy of the calling that you have received, that calling to be lights like Jesus. That's why we often pray at the end of a confession, words that something like praying to be more like Jesus, because that's our ultimate goal. Well, our Bible passage today, as I say, is this letter from Paul to Christians. It's going to help us with some practical guidance on all of this. But let's start by seeing what it can look like when we trust Jesus as the centre of our lives when we come together on Sundays. In verses 18 to 20, Paul writes, "Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." It's a lovely, it's a wonderful vision. Paul gives us this vision of a pure family of God, worshipping together, full of the Holy Spirit, where we've been alert and trusting and obedient to the work of the Holy Spirit in us, where joy and thankfulness flows through us, and we bring that into our worship on Sunday. Is that vision really possible? Can we reach Sunday full of the Holy Spirit, full of joy and thanks for how the week has gone? So that we pour that joy and thanks with passion and emotion in our worship, in our singing, giving God what he deserves and encouraging each other to worship in the same way. Well, Paul says yes, because in verse 8, as we've been thinking today, we are light in the Lord. He says, once we were darkness, but as Christians, we're now light. We're light in the Lord Jesus. And this image of light and darkness is one that flows regularly through the Bible. Darkness, the evil, the ignorance, the rebellion of God, and the light when we become and know Jesus. Jesus calls himself the light of the world in John chapter 8, verse 12 in the New Testament of the Bible. But here in this passage, it's striking that Paul says we don't just live or walk in the light, in the environment of light. He says we are light. We are light in the Lord. So we're not just expected to benefit from and reflect the light of Jesus, but that's true. But we are the light of Jesus, bearing his light for him. Because when we became Christians, we became one with Jesus, when we accepted his free gift of salvation. So whatever our background, whatever our circumstances, whatever we've done, wherever we've been, whatever they are now, the circumstances, once we become a Christian, we've got a new identity in Jesus as his light in the world. And he calls us to behave in a way that's consistent with that light, with that identity. It's daunting, isn't it? But as part of our new identity, Jesus, he doesn't leave us on our own to get on with it. He gives us God's Holy Spirit. Paul writes earlier in the letter in chapter 1, verse 13. He says, "When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit." When you believed in Jesus, the Holy Spirit becomes part of us. And that Holy Spirit will guide us, will counsel us, will give us the power to be consistent with that new identity. We do have the capability to be pure, bright lights for Jesus. But one of the challenges is whether our vision of who Jesus is it big enough? Is what Jesus has done for us on the cross, will it motivate us to make living for Jesus the priority over everything else that we do and say? Well, you might say, yes, Dave, I want to be a brilliant, pure light for Jesus. I want to be a true representative of Jesus and his family. I want to respond to all that Jesus has done for me. And yes, I know the Holy Spirit of God gives me his wisdom and his power to do what might seem to me impossible. But Dave, don't we live in a completely light world, do we? The temptations and the idols and the pressures of darkness, well, they're all around me. But Paul says, when we become light in the Lord, in Jesus, we gain freedom from anything that can contaminate that light. The Holy Spirit in us gives us, gives you, gives me as Christians, the power to live a life in which sin, that's our selfishness, our greed, our impurities, well, they no longer have to determine the choices that we make, because our identity is in Jesus. We can overcome whatever darkness might try and throw at us, knowing that Jesus is more wonderful than anyone or anything else the world can offer us. And on top of all those things, Jesus has given us each other to help us with that. Well, the whole of chapters 4, 5 and 6 of Ephesians are practical instructions from Paul how to do that, how to be lights of Jesus, to live distinctive lives for Jesus. But I've picked out 5 things that struck me in our reading today. 5 things: thanks, praise, wisdom, exposure and red lines. Now, they might feel like a random set of words. They are quite a random set of words, but let's bear with me as we go through them. So first of all, thanks. In verse 20, Paul writes, always give thanks to God the Father for everything. And in verse 4, he says, rather thanksgiving. Thanksgiving rather than anything else. Because it's very easy to moan and grumble and gossip, isn't it? To be weighed down. It's easy to be tempted to go down that wrong turning because we choose to be discontent with what's going on. Yet whatever our circumstances as Christians, we always have something to thank God for. For all the right, for all the good, for all the true blessings that God has showered on us. Ultimately, of course, that promise that if we believe in Jesus, we will be with him forever. And we have this big family to help us in the meantime. Thanking God for things, you might think, well, okay, but that seems like a pretty small and obvious thing. Is that really going to impact on the darkness, the evil in the world? Well, I can say from experience that it absolutely, definitely does. And I really recommend that you make times in your day for thanksgiving. When you wake up in the morning, thank God for all the things, the wonderful things that you've got. At the end, when you lay in the bed at the end of the night, thank God for all the good things in the day. When you meet somebody, start by talking about what you're thankful for. When you go to pray and read the Bible, start. Don't jump in with things. Start and praise God and thank God. Let thankfulness be your default. And with the Holy Spirit's help, it will take over from grumbling and discontent. It will take over from wanting things that we haven't got. It will take over from the temptation to seek pleasure in the wrong things. And as we seek to encourage others in God's family, share that thankfulness with each other. Encourage them to do the same back to you during the week and then on Sunday when we meet. We often text a Bible verse to each other. Sometimes it's great just to say, someone texts you or something and says, I'm so thankful this morning for whatever. Rather, thankfulness. Let's go on to praise. Verse 19, speak to one another with psalms and songs and hymns. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. Another way to help our light shine brightly for Jesus is to keep reminding ourselves and reminding each other of just how amazing God is. The extent of his love and his mercy and his grace for us. Jesus dying on the cross, giving his life for us, has won for us a personal relationship with God forever. And that praise should culminate when we come together to worship and sing on Sundays. But it ought to also be part of our daily habits. Do you listen to Christian music and songs and hymns and so on during the week? Now, they don't replace the importance of God's word, the Bible, and knowing the Bible. But music has been given to us by God to enhance our joy and understanding of the truths of the Bible, what he's done. And through that emotion, through the passion of singing, whether that's, you know, quietly listen to it as you're travelling or something, whether it's screaming out loud as I do when I'm doing the vacuuming, nearly went the ironing, I don't do the ironing, the vacuuming. When we come together with loads of voices and brilliant musicians, they're all ways to praise God. And the more we sing of these truths, they will become a natural part of us. They will put the things of darkness into perspective. That's why it's good to be doing it in the week, when maybe you're on your own. Singing passionately as we worship together on Sundays will have the greatest effect in encouraging each other to grow as a family. But sharing songs that we've listened to and found helpful, some people here do that, I know. I know Alice, my wife, sometimes receives songs from Mark White, for instance. Or lines from songs, again, like those verses, like those thanks, just to encourage us. It's a great, great thing to do. Keeping the light shining brightly in all of us. You know, our brother David Larkinson, who's in hospital at the moment, and I visited him on Saturday, I can't remember which day it was, and he sends his love and his greetings to you. He's doing all right. And David, if you've ever received a letter from David, and he writes good, long letters, he always writes, in longhand, he writes out a hymn. All the words of a hymn to encourage the reader. Isn't that wonderful? Thanks and praise and wisdom. Verse 15. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Now, you know, this wisdom is obviously, or could be a sermon on its own, because there's a whole book in the Bible about wisdom called Proverbs. But what I want to emphasise today is that we're wise in our decision making. That we're good, we're right and true in the decisions that we make. Obviously, I don't mean taking a lot of time and, you know, an anxious head scratching about what socks we're going to wear. But to give proper thought to what you're about to do, to give proper thought to what you're about to say, to give proper thought to who you're about to meet, to give proper thought to why you're meeting them, to give proper thought to where you're meeting them, and so on. Ask yourself, you know, as you're thinking about this, is it helpful to my walk with God? Is it helpful to others? Or is there something better I could be doing with this time for me and for others? Is it wise? Is it good? Is it right? Is it true? And the Bible gives loads of sort of general advice about right and wrong, dark and light. And sometimes, you know, our specific circumstance doesn't seem to be covered by the Bible. And it's easy to think, well, the Bible doesn't know, I'll make up my own answer. But that's when we need to be really careful and prayerful in our seeking wisdom from the Holy Spirit, to ask the Holy Spirit to show us how the general truths of the Bible apply to our specific circumstances. Sometimes I think it's helpful if we think, well, if Jesus was standing beside me, would he give me the nod to go ahead with that, to say that, to do that, to meet them, etc.? Taking time to work through, to discern the wise way forward, the right, good, true way forward, rather than just jumping in or blocking out the Holy Spirit, will help to dispel the lies of darkness. But we need to be careful. Paul says in verse 15, we need to be very careful because there's evil out there. Evil will remain in the world until Jesus returns in his glory. And he says in verse 6, so let no one deceive you. People will try and pull you the wrong way. And also, don't let yourself deceive you. I'll come on to that in a minute. But, you know, sometimes we can be our worst self-deceivers. Know your areas of vulnerability. Know your areas of weakness and avoid them. How can we help each other as a family in this? Well, sometimes we can make those decisions on our own. Most of the time we will if we listen to the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we think, I need some more help. So go to a trusted, mature Christian and ask them to pray with you, to talk through it, see what they think. Don't just go to someone you know will agree with you, because that doesn't help. Making yourself accountable to someone else is not so they can catch you out and make you look small and bad. It's so that they can help you and support you walk on the right path with Jesus and shine light for him. Thanks, praise, wisdom, and then exposure. Verse 13, everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light, it says. If we're living a life that is thankful and contented and full of praise and worship of God, and we're very careful to make wise, right, true decisions, it will help us avoid darkness and the wrong decisions. In fact, it will mean that our light will expose the darkness for what it is, making it much more obvious when there's a wrong path ahead. The exposure of our light into that dark thing, well, it may well be hard for us. It may well be embarrassing for us. It may be a real challenge for us, because we may have to say, I'm not going to do that. And that might upset a friend or something, or a work colleague, or whatever it happens to be. They want us to join them, and we know that's a step too far. But making those bold decisions when the light exposes the darkness, make our light shine more brightly, and hopefully will illuminate others with the light of Jesus. Exposure is not about our pride or judging others. It's about saving people for Jesus and living as pure light for him. Thanks, praise, wisdom, exposure. And that brings us to the last one, red lines. Or actually, hopefully, those things of thanks, praise, wisdom, and exposure will stop us getting to the red lines. But let's carry on. Verses 3 to 7. In these verses, 3 to 7, and verses at the end of chapter 4 particularly, Paul's making clear of all the things that we need to avoid as Christians. There must not be, he says. There must not be these things in our life if we are to be light shining out for what's good, right and true. And at the end of chapter 4, Paul's already amassed a list of things that should be absent from the life of a Christian. Some of the things he says are stealing and rage and fighting and slander and malice, for instance. That's him getting going. So when he turns in our passage to there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality at verse 3, we shouldn't assume that Paul's got a hang-up about sex. He's just making clear that sexual immorality is one of a range of things that the Bible says is not light. The Greek word translated in our Bible as sexual immorality is a word porneia. I don't know if I pronounce it right, porneia, but you might recognise it because that's where our word pornography comes from. And when Paul says there should be no hint of porneia, of sexual immorality, he's emphasising that sexual activity other than sex between a man and a woman in a loving marriage is a red line for God's holy people, for his family. And the same red line in verse 4 applies to obscene and coarse talk, because that also comes within any hint of sexual immorality for Paul. Why is that? Because God gave sex to be a beautiful gift. And any language that belittles, that degrades that gift is offensive to God, because he's given us the beautiful gift. So thinking of all of those different do nots that Paul gives in chapter 4 and 5. At verse 8, he adds that Christians shouldn't partner with anyone that will cause them to go beyond those red lines. And I'm not just talking about sex, I'm talking about all those other things as well. Bad language and slander and malice and being horrible to people, etc., etc. Paul doesn't say that we shouldn't associate with people that aren't Christians, because that would be ridiculous. Of course, we want to be associating and mixing and having friendships and so on with non-Christians, because how else would we be able to have an opportunity to shine the light of Jesus into those people's lives as well? But Paul does say that if going beyond association into what he says is partner, he uses the word partnership, if that causes us to go beyond the red lines, then we should back off. And you know, these verses are really tough, aren't they? I've got to stand here and I'm preaching them, and they are hard. But they are God's truth, and that's why I'm preaching them. And if we're serious about a desire to respond to what Jesus has done for us, if we're serious about shining with pure light for him, we need to search our hearts and take note. I know from my past, I talked earlier about sometimes we are our worst deceiver ourselves. I know from my past, and my past is black, that sometimes we think we know better than God, or we know better than the Bible. We think we can handle the situation because we're on top of our Christian life. We think we'll find a way to justify our position for continually getting drunk, or for flirting with someone at work, or for looking for titillation on a screen somewhere, or for the use of obscene language, or for gossiping about someone behind someone's back. We can be our worst, the worst deceiver. All these and the other things, says Paul in verse 30 of chapter 4, he uses these words. He said, all these things, when we go beyond these red lines, grieve the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in us. When we become a Christian, we get this wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit within us. And when we make the wrong choices, the Holy Spirit is sad. But we can avoid getting near those red lines, as I said, if we take on board, for instance, among other things, the thanks, the praise, the wisdom and the exposure points that I've been talking about earlier, and listening to the guidance of the Holy Spirit in our heart. We know right and wrong. The Holy Spirit will tell us what's right and wrong, and we need to be obedient. And as we do all of those things, we can be accountable. We can partner with each other as members of Jesus' family. Now, don't hear me wrong and don't hear Paul wrong. Nowhere in the Bible does it say we can't drink. Nowhere does it say we can't have fun. We can go to parties, and God has given us so many brilliant, wonderful things to enjoy. But he sets red lines for our good, for others' good. And he does that because he loves us so much. Very quick word about verses 5 and 6, where it says, no immoral, greedy, impure person has any inheritance in the kingdom of God and faces God's wrath. In other words, they go to hell. Paul is not saying that Christians will lose their salvation and go to hell if we slip up on any of these things, if we go over the red line. We know that because he emphasizes in another one of his letters in Romans chapter 8 verse 1, he says there is no condemnation from God for those who are in Christ Jesus. People who've truly given their lives to Jesus and are striving to live, to walk a pure, shining light life for him, can come to him in repentance, in truth, in true repentance, and say sorry and know they will be forgiven by Jesus. These verses in 5 and 6 are for those people who are in deliberate, habitual, unrepentant rebellion against God and his ways. If you're a Christian here today or on the live stream and you've slipped over those red lines, come back to Jesus. Come back to Jesus in repentance. Come back and receive his forgiveness. And partner more closely with the family he has given you and me to encourage you to grow and shine bright again. And if you're not a Christian, here or on the live stream, whatever you've done, however bad you think it is, whatever your circumstances have been are now, you know, God loves you. God loves you so much. And we love you being part of our family here at St. Patrick's. And our prayer is that our joy and our hope and our light will shine so brightly that you too will want to turn in faith and trust of Jesus. So, brothers and sisters in Jesus, let us help and encourage each other in any way we can to be light in the Lord during the week and on Sundays, so that we join together on Sundays full of the Holy Spirit, full of the joy that Jesus is the centre of our lives, full of joy and hope, ready to give him thanks and praise, because only Jesus deserves it. Amen.